welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 24th of November 2024. The first scripture I'd like us to turn to is in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read from verse 10 to 11. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let's also turn in our Bibles to the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word. Once again, help us to understand it, to make use of it, to allow it to do in us that which you planned. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who helps us to understand, gives us revelation knowledge, and makes that which is in the Word part of us as we humbly receive it. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. We have been talking about the body of Christ, and as I have described, the five functions that must be evident in the body of Christ for her to operate properly. If these five functions, and last week we spoke about calling them anointings, supernatural empowerments from God, are evident in the body of Christ, she will automatically grow. That is the blueprint that God laid down in His Word, which we read in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, those five anointings, I'll just repeat them very quickly, are apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And last week we were speaking about the pastoral side, or better referred to as shepherding. God needs the body of Christ to be taken care of. And that's probably the most fundamental function, anointing, that needs to be in the body of Christ for her to grow. I've used the word nurturing, and if you think of a mother with the child, that child must be nurtured. Obviously, the form of that nurturing changes shape, as it were, with time. What the child needs at one stage is not what that same child needs grown up. But we all need to be nurtured all the same. And you see, if the body of Christ is not nurturing the children of God, if they're not being properly cared for, then it's impossible for them to grow. And if the individual sheep are not growing, then the body of Christ will not grow. However, having said that, please note that that's just one side of the whole thing. And we're going to be speaking now about the teaching anointing. Remember, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Very often, as we've said, that anointing is combined in a pastoral function. But if we understand teaching properly, and we look at that scripture where it speaks about the rain coming down from heaven, what does it do? That rain feeds. It feeds the creation. It feeds the trees and the plants, which in turn are able to feed others. But you see, there's this process of feeding, and that's what teaching is about. And obviously, what needs to be taught is the Word of God. As the rain comes down from heaven, so is my Word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now you see, God sent his word, and in a sense his word is available. But that word needs to be, as it were, directed. It needs to be carried. You can have all the water in the world, but if it's not being directed to the plant will dry up. And you see, that's what the function of teaching is. All of us need to be continually being taught. In the same way as physically, we all need to continually be being fed. It's the same thing. It's a combination of feeding and watering. The Bible describes the word as the water of the word. In Ephesians, it speaks about the church being washed with the water of the word. But in the same way, we need food. And the word is referred to as the bread of the body of Christ. Now, you see, all of us have to be continually fed. And if you use that analogy, that feeding changes, just as the nurturing changes. And obviously, you see, at the beginning stages, it's the mother's duty to feed the child. Now, we want to introduce another principle here, which I referred to last time. The mistake of confusing, as I've said, the anointing with title has led us to believe that some are pastors, some are teachers, some are evangelists, etc. Now, the truth of the matter is, and just as the body of Christ contains the DNA of God, which is this fivefold ministry, so the individual members contain the same DNA. Let me just say that again. The DNA of the body of Christ should be found in the DNA of every single believer. Let's just go back to this pastoral business. As we spoke last time, every one of us is to some extent responsible for nurturing, be it a friend at school, be it a workmate, be it somebody who has just got saved, be it our own children, be it our little brother, our little sister, our child. All of us, in a sense, are involved with this nurturing process. It's not the job of the pastor of a church to nurture everyone. Well, you might ask, well, what is the pastor's job then? And this is something that we need to grasp. Part of this DNA, if we read that Ephesians chapter 4 passage correctly, it speaks about the body of Christ building itself up in love. Very simply stated, and as I say, we're going to look at this in a bit more detail, it is the function of people that have, as it were, risen up through the ranks and have moved from, shall we say, operating in an anointing to being placed in an office. There's a difference. We all have to pastor, but some will be progressing into the position of the office of pastor. What is that pastor's duty? Well, amongst other things, apart from the shepherding side, and as I said, we could go into this forever, the real function of the office of pastor is to create new pastors. In a sense, the shepherd is tasked with the duty of transforming the sheep into shepherds. So while the sheep are shepherds to one another, the function is to transform them into the place where they can fulfill their function. Now you see, the same could be said about teaching. Yes, the pastor of the church is responsible to a large extent for the teaching. If there is in that organization or body other ministries of teaching, that's how the Lord works. He uses people to teach. But you see, at the same time, every one of us should, as soon as possible, begin to teach. We should all, as it were, be teachers. The office of teacher's job is to transform those in the body of Christ into teachers. Train them how to teach. Now, Let's just explain this whole teaching process. What is it actually? The teaching process is the process of transferring information, fundamentally. Specifically in this case, information about the kingdom of heaven. All of us are charged with the process of passing on information one to another. That is what every child of God should be involved with, which is, in a sense, teaching. Now, I have to say a few things about this passing on of information. Yes, there is a process of just being informed, which is part of what we are trying to do here. The body of Christ needs to be informed. But what needs to be included in this, that teaching the things of God is far more than just the transfer of information. We read that scripture in John. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, this communication of the things of God is not just information, although it certainly is that. The body of Christ so desperately needs to be properly informed. But teaching the things of God goes beyond that. Because, you see, we're involved with something of the Spirit. We are not just transferring information. We are, when we teach properly, transferring the Spirit of the living God, which is found in His Word. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Paul was very, very conscious of this. When he is writing to the Corinthians, there was some contention about whether he was, I suppose, anointed or authorized, etc., etc. And the truth is that when he bumbled into Corinth at one stage, he wasn't in such good shape. I think he had just gone through a few beatings or something like that. But anyway, he was physically weak. And I suppose in carnal thinking, some people thought, oh, well, Paul's not really much to contend with. We'd rather go for the more flashy teachers, the Apollos, etc. But you see, when he writes to them, he makes this statement. My speech, this is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, when we pass on information amongst each other, it should be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That brings life. The Word of God, in a very real sense, is like the lifeblood of the church. That lifeblood needs to continually be flowing. And once again, it's not the job of maybe the pastor in the church to do all the teaching. Teaching should be going on amongst each other all the time. The pastor's duty, I believe, is to encourage us to do this. But you see, how do we do this? And it's very important to realize that, once again, this is not just the transfer of information. It's not good enough just to send a link to somebody on internet and think, oh, I'm teaching them. No, you are not. You might be helping them, but you are not really teaching them. Why? Because, you see, teaching needs to impart the Spirit, and it's designed to operate on a one-to-one basis, or in a small group setting, or maybe even in a big church. But you see, there's the Spirit involved. There's the power of God involved. Now, how do we get there? Well, you see, the important thing to realize to start off with is that every one of us, the moment we are born again, have this duty to, yes, preach the gospel. We need to start to share the word, to be ready in season and out to share the word. Now, obviously, to start off with, we can't teach that which we do not have. So in the initial phases, we need to learn for ourselves. And this can take quite a bit of time. And the reason being is that, you see, it's no good just teaching something that you know. To effectively communicate the Spirit of God, when we teach, that word has first got to have become part of us, not just intellectual information. This is where the church has got it so wrong. Massive institutions devoted to the development of people's minds with theological concepts, as useful as it might be in some respects, when it comes to training people up to actually communicate the Spirit of the Word of God, can be dangerous. Once again, let's turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. We know this. We know that we have knowledge. All right, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. He says, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Can you see that? Mere knowledge, mere academic intellectual knowledge, if you and I accumulate it, it can puff us up. But you see, love edifies. In other words, when we are teaching with the Spirit of God, with the purpose of building people up because of love, not to prove how clever we are, that's when we really are communicating the lifeblood of the church. And anybody can actually do it. You don't have to be very eloquent or a great intellectual. Although God uses every gift, please, nothing wrong with that, it can be used. But you see, we're talking about at the grassroots level, you and I teaching one another. And how is it done? Well, you see, first of all, we have to have engaged with the word ourselves. I've said this so many times. We have to make the word part of us. And we've talked about letting the word work on us and hearing God's voice through the word. And all of that is now very relevant. Because you see, when I've heard God speak to me through his word, that part of his word becomes revelation. Once that has happened, I'm equipped now to share that revelation with somebody else. Why? Because when I share that revelation with somebody else, because it's part of my revelation, the chances are great that they will grasp and get revelation themselves. If I'm merely quoting the facts from the Bible, however, it's going to take a lot of work to get revelation for ourselves. So you see, we should all be involved with this process of teaching. And what should happen is, as you and I share what we have, that's when God is able to increase us and give us more. I can honestly say that everything I teach has not been because somebody else taught me, although I've learned from many people, but the reason I have things to teach is because at the very beginning of my ministry or my experience with God as a child of God, I started to share the bit that I knew. My first few sermons were completely embarrassing now that I think of them, and the level of ignorance was stunning, quite understandably. However, as I used to say to my students at school, being ignorant is not a sin, but remaining ignorant is a crime. You see, I didn't stay ignorant. Not to say that I know everything by any means. But the point is that by sharing the bit that I did know, I created in a way a vacuum and God added more. God added more. And I can honestly say every time one teaches something, new revelation just comes. We see things in a different way. It grows. My encouragement to every one of us is to involve ourselves with the process of teaching, of just sharing the word one with another. In our fellowship meetings, we make a point of giving an opportunity for everybody to share something that they've learnt in the week. And as we do that, we grow, you see. We teach one another. We learn from one another. The whole function of teaching, of continual transfer of information is evident in our midst. And if we have that in our midst, that's one of the pillars on which God can build his church. If there's no teaching in our midst, if everything we hear is just for the moment inspirational, as it were, that is great to have inspirational talks every now and then. But there is a deep need in the body of Christ for what the Bible describes as the meat of his word. You see, this teaching process grows, and one begins to learn that a lot of the principles of God are not apprehended instantaneously. This whole teaching about the body of Christ, we've been going on at it for a few months now, and there's still so much to be said. But you see, until we actually grasp these principles and we receive them and we're able to understand things from God's perspective, a lot of the truths of God, unfortunately, will pass us by. And the danger of that is, you see, when we are ignorant, we can expect the enemy to target us in those areas of ignorance. So you see, being taught correctly, being in the process of teaching one another, with the Holy Spirit's help, allowing him to continually be teaching us. And please, this is an ongoing process. We can't know everything, all right? We have to be continually learning. One of the greatest ways to become a great teacher is to be a great learner, a great student. The more open we are to learn, the better equipped we will be to teach. And you see, the process grows whereby we learn something today. It takes a bit of time for that which we have learned to be processed through us. Much like a mother will eat, process that food and be able to feed her baby with milk. That's the process, you see. And this whole process goes on, and we should come to the place where, as Paul said, we are able to process the meat for ourselves. That is the objective, an ongoing process of learning how to extract nutrients from the word for ourselves, not have to be continually being taught. Continually learning, yes, and also available to be taught, yes, but more and more being able to process for ourselves. This is such a vital ingredient. You see, if we have this process in the body of Christ, continuing all the time, it creates an environment of protection. Protection from false doctrine. So many children of God are at this stage extremely, extremely vulnerable to being deceived. There are so many voices out there, many of them proclaiming to be godly, and yet perhaps because of ignorance on their own part, unable to really build up. Very often what happens, teaching becomes a means to financial gain. And you see, that's not what the Bible speaks about. It speaks about knowledge for the sake of knowledge to be impressive, as opposed to knowledge that is used because it can help somebody. Knowledge that edifies because of love, you see. When knowledge is accompanied by love, that knowledge increases. Let me put it this way. God wants to help people. If we want to help people, God's power, his anointing becomes available to help us to help them. Does that make sense? You see, we're talking about the anointing of teaching, the anointing of distributing God's word, his life-giving power. His life is in his word. It speaks of in the days of early persecution, despite everything that happened to the early apostles, they stood firm, and guess what? It describes it as the word multiplied. Notice, the word multiplied. What does that mean? More people were becoming aware of the truth. More people were being fed with the word of God. They were being taught. The world needs to be taught. Many people are in confusion at the moment. Why? Lack of proper teaching. A lot of the problems we encounter in society would not be there if people had been properly founded on the Word of God. And whose duty is it to found them on the Word of God? The church. But if we, the church, are not founded ourselves on the Word of God, what will happen and what is happening will start to go the way the world's going. And there comes a stage where there's absolutely no difference. The children of God, when we go into the world, as it were, should be foundationally different. Why? Because of the knowledge that we have. Because we have been properly taught the precepts of God. This can't be stressed enough. It's so great in the heart of the Lord. You think of his work here on earth. Most of the time he spent teaching, not just generally, but to his disciples, instructing them, giving him the right principles. But you see, not just instructing them intellectually. He realized there was such a lot they'd have to intellectually come to know that he couldn't tell them everything. But what did he impart to them? You see, he said, my words are spirit. My words are spirit and they are life. Can you see that? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My prayer is that we would embrace this understanding, not shy away from it. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our level of academic education is. Totally irrelevant. The things of God can be perceived by any person as long as we have a humble heart. And you see, as we realize this is life, and we approach the Word of God and the teachings of God as a source of life, and not just think that this is just for me. No, receive the Word of life and know that the day will come when that Word in you and I will be necessary to feed somebody else. If we can just get this right, children of God, the Church of God will be a thriving, powerful machine, capable of doing that to which God has called us. I pray that we'll take this to heart and allow the Spirit of God to work it in all of our lives. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.